Well, I felt like going through the films this morning pretty much reflected what they thought after the game, which was that we definitely had our chances, but we just weren't able to make enough plays in the end to have the outcome come out in our favor. And it was in all three phases of the game. There were some good things. Obviously, we did enough things to make it a real competitive game to get down to the wire, but we just couldn't make enough plays that we needed to make to turn it in our favor. And as we have a couple other times this year. So it's got to keep working, trying to, you know, we need to improve all the way across the board, offense, defense, special teams. Do a better job coaching, do a better job playing. Just need to keep working harder and correct some of the mistakes that we had and improve our execution. Certainly a lot of special situations and situational football. And, you know, learn from this one and move on to New Orleans. So, what do we have in front of us?
Most of these games turn on a handful of plays, and, you know, execution was an issue, but looking back, you also just look and say maybe like no luck, and it just chalk it up to one of those days, because it seemed like there were a couple of plays there, you know, Dawson running into Amendola or Edelman and Amendola on the goal line, and he just can't roll across. And so do you just maybe look at it and say it wasn't your day?
All right, Rich. Well, you know, I think there's always going to be a few of those plays in the game, in every game, that you look at and say, well, that was fortunate for us, or that was unfortunate for us. And I think you just have to live with those, and you hope that, you know, they all even out in the long run. I think what's more important is to control the things that we can control, and that's what we just need to do a better job of. And you're right, sometimes the ball just, you know, it's a funny bounce. Sometimes it's in your favor, and sometimes it isn't. But there's things that we control, and that's where I think our focus really needs to be, is what we can do a better job on. Coaching, preparation, execution, decision-making, situational football, you know, all those things. We have to do a better job on what we can do there.
Good morning, Bill. I wanted to ask you about a specific play. It was a play at the end of the third quarter. The Bengals had the ball. It was the 3rd-and-15 play from the 2-yard line. And I was just curious, when you went back to watch that this morning, what you saw, and if you saw it, the defense might have been unsettled before the snap, and if that had any impact on what happened in the play.
Yeah, I think it definitely had an impact on it. You know, it's a play that we've dealt with before. We're a team in a long yardage situation. Just, you know, goes on a quick count like Cincinnati did, and just runs everybody down the field. And, you know, we've seen it, you know, through the years. Not anything that's revolutionary, but they did a good job of it. They got set. They snapped the ball quickly. We definitely weren't set when the ball was snapped. A few guys, you know, moving into position, and I'd say, you know, mostly we got into position, but not, you know, obviously it wasn't good enough. And it was a good play on their part. It was not a good play on our part, but I think it was definitely a, you know, strategical play that that the, you know, worked for them, and they caught us on it. So everybody on their side was set. We just weren't ready when the ball was snapped, and they hit us on it.
I was more curious also, too, in addition to that, like when something like that happened, would you like a timeout there in retrospect, or is that sort of, you can't even, because it's going so fast, it's not an option? And of course, you know, the flip side is you needed those timeouts at the end of the game. So I was sort of weighing the idea of a timeout in that situation, given where the ball was. I didn't even know if that was realistic, as, you know, based on how quick everything was happening.
Yeah, I don't really think it was a timeout situation. They hadn't done that. It wasn't like it was a problem that, they were going at a fast pace and we couldn't get the call and couldn't get lined up. Just on that particular play, they turned it into a quick snap situation, and we just weren't well enough prepared for it. Obviously, it wasn't well coached on our end. That's our responsibility. We should have been better prepared for it. But at the same time, we've dealt with no huddle quick snap offenses from the first day of training camp, the first preseason game, and all the way through the year. So, quick snaps and being ready to go and all that that's always part of the game. That was really the issue on it. Just being set and being ready to play. But, from a coaching standpoint, we obviously, and I need to do a better job of preparing for it in that situation. I don't really think it kind of happened too fast to even take a time. I don't think anybody really realized that they were going to go as quickly as they did. That's not really their pattern on third down. I think that's kind of what threw us off a little bit was the tempo. But there were several times in the game where we substituted when they tried to go no huddle, like on the goal line play, on the second down goal line play. I don't think we were able to get our goal line all the way down to the 1 yard line in there. But Spikes made a play in the backfield to take third one, and we were able to get that substitution made. So it really, I don't think that was the problem.
Hi, Bill. You mentioned you worked on solid special teams plays. Were you talking about Ryan Allen? Obviously, he had to be called on 8 times, and 5 of his punts were inside the 20, and I believe 3 were inside the 10. And on a day like, he talked about the contribution he made. That's more I have about there, but that's a good day. That's the money he has out there.
I thought our punt team overall gave us, good field position. Really all day. The plus 50 punting was good. I think it was 5 inside the 20. And I think, as you said, was 3, wherever it was, inside the 10. And a couple times we were backed up, and we had good coverage there as well. So punting game and the field position on that end of it was good. I think, opportunities in the punt return game and the kickoff return game that we didn't really take advantage of some of the opportunities that we had there. We could have finished a couple blocks. There were potentially a couple plays, a big plays to be had there, but we just couldn't quite get that last block or, make the one, key thing that we needed. In those plays to make a game-changing type play.
Wondering, with all the new faces on offense and the missing faces on offense, is it unrealistic to expect that you guys would be consistent through the first 5 games?
Well, everybody that's out there has been out there for a lot of football for some shooters, so not sure they were referring to. These guys have all been here, most of them, for multiple years. So, we just didn't overall offensively perform to the level that did last week or that we're capable of doing. They're responsible for that. Coaching staff, players, I certainly give Cincinnati credit there. They had a good defensive front. They played well. We've got to do a better job. We put ourselves in too many long yardage situations. Couldn't convert in the red area. Had some consistency from the ball, not nearly enough. That's not in any critical situations. So, better than all balls.
Bill, I was curious in winning the coin toss and electing to receive, how much of that was due to weather considerations and the possibility of what we saw, not knowing when that was going to come, or was it more related to maybe any different viewpoint on the value of that, the opportunity to have a double score at the end of the second quarter, start of the third quarter?
It's the kind of things we talk about every week, and there are a number of things that are part of the conversation, the consideration. So there's a number of factors. In the end, we felt like taking the ball at that point was the better thing to do. So, I wouldn't say it was any one, big overriding, but just the combination of, like I said, all the circumstances surrounding the game. When we put it all together, we felt like that was the best thing to do.
Bill, looking ahead to New Orleans and your counterpart Sean Payton, wondering how you would characterize him as a play caller in particular, and just what his personality as a head coach is and how it carries over to his team, and also Rob Ryan on defense, the guy that once worked for you, how he complements what Sean does offensively with his defensive approach.
Sean's obviously got a very aggressive play calling approach. He does a good job of keeping the defense off balance, and he attacks really every square inch on the field, middle of the field to the sideline to the back end line. So you have a lot to defend with Sean's offense, and he has the personnel and the scheme and capability to attack everywhere. So that's, in a nutshell, his system. He's an aggressive play caller. It's hard to predict what he's going to do because he does a good job of keeping you off balance. That doesn't mean it's all pass plays either. He'll power run. He'll play action. He'll throw deep. He'll throw short. He'll screen draw. I mean, he has a good complement of plays that just continually keep the defense off balance. Rob's obviously comes from a great football background, with his family, grew up with it, a big part of his life, and he's very dedicated coach, and also one who's had a lot of experience, not just in the games, but, like I said, growing up with it, being around it, all that, a real student of the game. He definitely understands personnel, game planning, and situational football, and so a lot of the things that he does are very specific to the individual game or situation on that particular play, which could change from week to week. It's not as predictable just because each game and each situation is different, and how he looks at that particular one might be same or different than he looks at another that might seem similar, but it isn't because it's a different team, different personnel, so forth. So there's definitely a level of unpredictability and aggressiveness in his overall system and play calling and style as well. But say that he's defensively, they have an aggressive approach, but they keep you off balance and they mix it up, and you just can't count on blitz every play because that's not going to happen. There's times when they'll three man rush. There's times when they'll send the house. Things in between. So it's not, they're not just the type of defense that's going to sit in, one or two things. Do that all day, unless on that particular day it really happens to be, working well and you're having a hard time with it. Then it's a lot of it, but that's really his basic style. But I'm sure he would do it if he felt like that was the right thing to do.
So I just wanted to ask you on one more play. The second play offensively on the Geno Atkins sack, when you reviewed that, is that one of those plays that is sort of doomed based on a defensive call or just with a bad match between what the offensive play call was and what they countered with? Or was that one that could have been executed better to avoid the result by the offense?
It was a play action pass, one that we've run, you know, many times through the years. And on that particular play, I don't think Gino really took much of the play action. He penetrated. We weren't really able to, you know, get a solid block in front of him because we were selling the run. You know, he made a good read, a good play on it. Of course, you know, he's the type of player that he doesn't need much. Obviously, we could have executed better, but it was a good play on his part. He wasn't taking any of the play action. He made the play.